You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
What in the world is God doing? Do you ever wonder that? Welcome to Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. In our travels through the whole Word of God, we land in Acts chapter 15 today, when the godly men of the day are asking the same question. What is God doing? It's been called the First Church Council, held in Jerusalem around 50 AD. So grab your Bible and open up to the book of Acts chapter 15. And while you do that, consider that our study today begs a question that we discuss frequently here at Through the Bible. Just how do you figure out what God's doing in the world and then how he's inviting us to play a part in it? Greg, how do we do that?
Well, this is incredible, Steve, because, you know, we always talk together before we start. There's a couple of our colleagues here that are helping us record, and I literally just answered this question and didn't realize we're going to talk about it. So when we have these dialogues and you think, is this real? Are these guys making this stuff up? The answer is no. We literally talk about this stuff. And what I basically said is for us at Through the Bible, there is no strategic planning. Now, somebody's going to say, whoa, you know, we're entrusting our funds and our prayers. Here's what we believe. We believe God knows the master plan. Our primary job is to look for where the Holy Spirit is moving. Right. Then we engage our planning and our management and our organizational skills. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I also believe it's because foundationally we are about the Bible, the whole word to the whole world. That's our premise. And Lord, you're going to open doors for us to accomplish that. And God is faithful. He's going to honor his word. And we believe he's doing that through what we're seeing happen and through the Bible.
And there are so many examples, and I'll give just one recent one, as very recent. So we like to talk about our dear friend, Ray Allery, who's the executive director of TTB Canada, and he really exemplifies this in his ministry. I was just on the phone with him yesterday, and it seems like every time I talk to him, he tells me, somebody called me and wants Through the Bible.
Yeah.
And so here's just one example. We actually had one of our listeners here in the United States.
Great story.
Great story. He said, I have someone in Liberia that I would love to get Through the Bible content on some players. Yeah. And he was willing to sponsor the players. And Ray is very careful with money. We also are, that's a real value Through the Bible. And he said, I'll tell you what, we're going to send one player. I know you're sighing.
Yeah.
One player to Liberia. Now, why would he do that? Do you remember this story?
Well, he wanted to test it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, make sure it was worth it. It's, I mean, we're going to dump, you know, 5,000 players into Libya and have them, number one,
or
get
Liberia.
Caught. Liberia, there too, and get them caught in the border or just go into somebody's top drawer desk and say, yeah, that was a nice try.
And I love that because the temptation would be to, you know, to order 1,000 of them and then write a newsletter article and say we did this. But what we did was we tested, is the Holy Spirit really at work? Well, yes, we sent the one player, they came back, they said, look, we want 20 for this group of pastors. Yeah. So then we sent 20 and they said, well, that's not even close to enough. We now have 200 leaders that we want and they're going to be starting basically home groups with these players.
Yeah. The other piece of it that I just makes me smile every time I hear the word Liberia and players is this listener was in the Las Vegas area.
That's right.
And if you ever think that nothing good can come out of Las Vegas, man, it just makes me smile that there's a guy that loves the Lord and has a passion for missions in a part of the world that we're not really doing a whole lot in, certainly with media players, and the Holy Spirit moves him and brings him to talk to us.
Yeah, so there it is. If you ever wonder, how do we actually decide what to do? We basically, we have a lot of work to do every day anyway, keeping this global ministry going, but we watch for the Holy Spirit, we test it, we don't just jump in with both feet, and then as the need grows and as we're sure and we have confidence, we go all in.
Yeah. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we seek to spread the gospel around the world and continue in our study in the book of Acts.
Father, we're smiling and our hearts are full of joy because we know that you're moving, that you are so much greater and smarter than us, and we're so grateful that we just have to follow you. And I pray that in each of our lives today, we would watch for the work of the Holy Spirit and follow you, and that you would teach us now through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, today we've come back to this very marvelous 15th chapter of the book of Acts. Now, we saw that the church came together under the leadership of the apostles and elders. Paul and Barnabas came down. They had now reported how that there were 100% Gentile congregations, these local churches, no longer made up of Israelites, but of Gentiles. And the question was, because there were some of the Pharisees that had been saved, some of the priests, they had no notion of giving up the law. In fact, they wanted to insist that Gentiles come in through the little wicket gate of the law. And Paul and Barnabas are not willing to give way one inch in this connection. And thank God for that, friends, because it means that we're saved by the grace of God. And Simon Peter stood up and explained that how he had been used to open up the door to the Gentiles when he went into the home of Cornelius, and that the Spirit of God had come upon them when the gospel was preached to them, and they believed. He said that they weren't circumcised. They were not under the Mosaic law, and God saved them. Now, James, who is apparently the leader in the church since the death of James, the brother John, who'd been martyred, this man's summation of the Council of Jerusalem. Now, will you listen to it? This is one of the important passages of Scripture. And I'll begin reading to get our connection again back at verse 12, Acts 15. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, apparently after Paul and Barnabas had made their report, now as they had done to the church in Antioch, they make it now to this group, this first council, then no one else had anything to say. Even the Judaizers are pretty much silenced by what's taken place. Now notice what happens. James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me." And he means you and he means me when he says that too. That is, God means it. James is just speaking to that crowd there that day, but God says to you and me, he says, listen to this. This is important. And I think sometimes if a lot of us just listen to God and not do so much talking ourselves, and I know somebody says, point the finger at yourself, brother. Maybe I need to, but let's listen to what God has to say. Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, if you want it put in a nutshell, put it in the language of Scripture, put it in the words of James here. What is God doing today in the world? Saving the world? No, no. Bringing in a kingdom? No, he's not doing that. What's he doing then? Well, he's doing what James says here. And he was merely repeating what Simon Peter had said. Take out of the Gentiles a people to his name. So that someday before the throne of God, there will be those out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation going to be before it. And the word's getting out today, friends. Getting out today as it never has before. Oh, I know this opposition today. We're in apostasy. A member of my former church, a very wonderful man of God, came to me one day, and he said, McGee, don't be so apologetic. He says, you know that Dr. Torrey preached to thousands of people. He went to Australia. He went to England. He went around the world. He preached the gospel. But he said, did you know that he never did have the audience that you have on radio, and that he never went to as many places at one time? Right now, friends, there are people of every color, every clime, every condition, every race, and practically of every nation that are here in this program. And actually, ours is a small network. There's some of these other very fine Christian radio programs that are on literally hundreds of stations. And they're pretty well girdling the globe today, friends. We're getting out the word. Thank God we're getting out the word today, you know. What's God doing today? He's calling out of the Gentiles, people to his name. Not everybody that listens. I just read good letters. That's all they let me have anyway. But I just read good letters. You know, some people write and they say, ooh, terrible things about me. And things that probably are truer than the good things. But my, they're not nice at all. May I say to you, friends, that not everybody is going to accept it. Why? Because God's calling out of people, out of the Gentiles to his name. Now listen to this. And to this agree the words of the prophets. You thought this was contrary to the Old Testament, didn't you? Why, it's not. James says this is something that the words of the prophets all say, as it's written. After this, after what? After he calls out of people to his name, after he calls out of the Gentiles, of people to his name, after God calls out the church out of this world, and friends, he's calling out individuals today, and one of these days he'll call the church out of this world. That's the rapture. And that's the next thing on the agenda of God. After this, after he gets through with the church, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And friends, it's fallen down today. There's nobody around in the line of David at all. The only one today that has claim is sitting yonder at God's right hand at this very moment, which has fallen down. And he says, I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. That's what God's going to do. He's going to send Jesus. He says to him today, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. I think God actually is calling out of people to his name, and he's bringing all the enemies of Christ, and they're going to be put underfoot, friends. The rebellion's going to be over one of these days. And the word out today is that the Spirit of God is saying, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. I'll build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of man, the second step, I'll build again the ruins thereof, and I'll set it up. Here's the program of God, calling the people out of the world. His second step with the world is he'll build again the line of David. The only one that's got any claims to it is the Lord Jesus. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles. Now, today's calling out of the Gentiles of people. In that day, all the Gentiles. I think that the greatest time of turning to God is yet in the future after the church leaves this earth. All the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. And these are the ones that will enter the kingdom. You see that this is the third step of God, that the residue of man might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles, now known unto God, are all his works from the beginning of the world. Now listen to this man, James, now, as he hands down, not only summing it up, but he hands down now a decision. And a very important decision. And this decision is simply this. Wherefore my sentence is, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Now, he says, let's write unto the Gentiles that are turned to God, and that we do not attempt to put them under the Mosaic system, and that they are to be courteous. They must remember that a great many of the Israelites are offended about eating meat that had been offered to idols. Now, I'll go into that in 1 Corinthians about this matter of eating meat. You see, in that day, what the Gentiles did, especially in Corinth, was they would offer to the gods their best lamb or their best animal or whatever it might be. But they were pretty clever. They took it in, made an offering of it. And so the gods that were spiritual, they ate just a spiritual animal. So they went in and got the meat again. And they had a meat market in the temple. And if you wanted to get the best steaks in that day, the filet mignons and the porterhouse steak and the New York cut, that's where you went. The local meat market didn't have good meat, but you'd get it there. So the Gentiles, they weren't offended by that. Didn't make any difference to them where the meat came from. But the Israelite in that day was offended by it. That'd been offered to idols. He'd been brought up that way. And so the thought is, when you have a Jewish brother over for dinner, don't offend him by bringing in something that's been offered to idols. It may be a lovely filet mignon. But when you have me over for dinner, friends, let's have the fillets. I like them. And it wouldn't make any difference who they'd been offered to, far as I was concerned. But somebody else might be offended, you see. Now, notice what he says, that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication. And you notice that? Adultery in that day was something that they didn't mind committing. The Gentiles lived in it. In fact, it was a religious rite. By the way, we're going back to paganism today. We talk about the new morality and the idea of sex, sex, sex. My friend, that was a religion long time ago. Our ancestors, when they came out of the woods half naked, eating raw meat, they had a new morality also. And the closer people get to God, they'll get right on this matter of sex, by the way. And adultery will be wrong. And that's the thing, they're to abstain from these things and from things strangling from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas. By the way, notice that man Silas. He's going to be a partner with Paul, chief among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. Listen to this. This is so lovely. Oh, today, if Christians could learn to act like Christians were intended to act. Listen to this. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. These are the Gentiles that turn to God. They send to them this lovely letter. For as much as we've heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. They have no authority to give you that line at all. And anybody tries to put you under law, friends, this doesn't have the authority of the Word of God. Verse 25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Isn't that lovely? And now they say, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, what have you suffered for him? What has it cost you to follow him? If it's not costing you anything, and if it hasn't caused you to take a stand in order that you might give the Word of God out, I want to say this to you very candidly. I personally don't want to listen to you because you have many things to say to me. The church there says these men have hazarded their lives. You listen to them. Now, verse 27, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things our mouth. Now, we're not just letting Paul and Barnabas come back and tell you, because you would say, well, of course, they'd bring back that kind of report. We're sending a couple of our brethren along to confirm what they're going to tell you. Verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Isn't that lovely? To lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, from things strangled, from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare you well. That's all we got to say to you. Isn't that lovely, friends? What a lovely note this is. Now, verse 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they'd gathered the multitude together, remember, friends, the church was a big thing then. The multitude came together. They delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. You know, there's consolation and comfort in the gospel, friends. There's nothing but condemnation in the law. The law condemns me. The law is a mirror. When I look in it, I say, oh, McGee, you're ugly. McGee, you've fallen short of the glory of God. But the gospel says, come on to God. He wants to receive you, and he can save you by grace. It comforts us, you see. Now, we find here, And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried their space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Silas and Paul got along. Silas said, I like this fellow Paul. I'm going to stay with him. And he stayed there at the church in Antioch. And maybe he liked the idea that they were serving pork at the Gentile table, by the way. Maybe like that. I don't know. But he stayed. Verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Actually, Barnabas and Paul were the pastors of the church, but now it's Paul and Barnabas. And some days after now, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again, visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord, see how they do. Paul had a concern for the churches. He had a concern for the believers. And he didn't trust those Galatians too much anyway. So he said, let's go back and visit them, Barnabas. And Barnabas, listen to this. Now, Barnabas, generous fellow that he is, but I want to say this about him. When he made up his mind, he's pretty hard-headed also. After all, we're all human beings, aren't we, friends? And we all still have that old nature, and sometimes you should be hard-headed and take a stand. Notice, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now notice, but Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Now, Paul has some convictions also. Paul says, no, won't take him. And Barnabas says, we will take him. Say, I'm glad these two brethren had this little altercation, because it does reveal to me they're human. It reveals to me that even a saint sometimes can disagree without being disagreeable. It didn't break up anything. This wasn't the beginning of two different churches in Antioch. They just disagreed. And it's all right to disagree with some of the brethren. I've always felt that I don't mind them disagreeing. I just pray that sometimes they're going to see the light as I see it. That's all. Well, maybe I'll see the light as they see it too, by the way. Now, notice these two men are disagreeing. Verse 39. Now, you think this is small? Listen to this. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark, sailed unto Cyprus. And we never follow Barnabas any longer. Now, he went to Cyprus where they had a great ministry. And that was the place that Barnabas had come from. He had a desire to take the gospel to his people. And we know from tradition, he had a great ministry there. And from Cyprus, a great ministry was carried on in North Africa. Well, he sails off the page of Scripture here, and there's silence. And we do not know about his ministry. From here on, we're going to follow Paul. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. Now the church has two mission projects now where they only had one before. And Barnabas is going one direction and Paul going another direction. This is God's method. God will use this. Paul chose Silas and the brethren recommended them, and both are missionaries. Now verse 41, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And if you follow on your map, the second missionary journey that we have, you'll notice that he went by land, apparently, from Antioch. He went on up into Syria and Cilicia. And then he came over to the Galatian country again, Derbe, Lystra, and Antioch. And we are going now, next time, to follow Paul and Silas on the second missionary journey. And I do not know about you. I love to travel, and I love to travel with Paul. Because if you're going to travel with him, and I think with any Christian, you're going to have a good time and there's going to be excitement. If there's anything that's, to me, almost unpardonable, it is a dull, uninteresting Christian. My friend, things ought to be happening around you if you're a child of God. You ought to be in some sort of movement getting this word out. Say we're going to have a good time following Paul from now on, and this will be the cheapest trip you could be able to take in the summertime for your vacation. Why not come go along with us? We run a Bible bus, by the way. We'll go by bus, but Paul's going to walk most of the way. But get on the bus, and let's go through the Bible together, not just with Paul. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Yes. We're so glad for your company on the Bible Bus. If you miss a study, remember you can always visit ttb.org for a bunch of different ways that you can catch up. If you'd like some help navigating your options, just give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, and we're praying that God would bless you as you walk with Him in His Word.
Jesus made it home. Unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's Word go today?
You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM. You are listening to WWBC, COCO, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco 99.9 FM.
Well, good morning. This is Reverend Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of God, and we're located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. And if you're trying to contact us, the number is 321-255-6999. Now stay tuned to the broadcast. You'll be blessed in Jesus' name.
Well, praise the Lord out there in Radio Land. We thank the Lord for this glorious opportunity and the time that he's allowed us to have this platform that we can minister the word of God to those that have ears to hear what the word of God is saying. Today we want to get right into the word, and we want to look at Ephesians, the second chapter there, and we want to be a blessing to everyone that tune into the broadcast. The word of God already is a blessing if you receive it, but we want to look at what the scripture says, because The word of God is the final authority. That's what it is. And we believe what the word of God says. So in Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9, praise God, Apostle Paul was speaking to the church of Ephesus and other Ephesians. And he was explaining to them that, for by grace are you saved through faith. And most of us, we know what grace is. Grace is the unmerited favor of God toward mankind. Also, I like to say it's the goodness of God that's been given to undeserving people. We don't deserve what we have, but because of the grace of God, we have what we have. So faith, we know what faith is. Praise God. The word of God tells us that in Hebrew 11, what faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And without faith, the word of God says, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Paul is saying, for by grace are we saved through faith, God's grace, through our faith in what he has supplied humanity with, so to speak, concerning our redemption. So the word of God tells us in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. I said, not of works. You cannot work your way for redemption. And I was meditating on this verse of scripture very extensively, and I came to the conclusion that the gift that God has given us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And many people today, if you reject the gift, then you have no other alternative but to be eternally lost. Because Jesus Christ is the gift of God. So Paul says that not of works. We cannot work our way into the kingdom of God. We cannot do anything that would please God through our works. The word of God says here that we are to keep our eyes and our heart and open it up according to what the word of God says. So Paul is saying here, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. And we need to understand that not of works, it is. And somebody out there in Radio Land should say, well, it is. It is the gift of God. I said the gift of God, not of works, but it's the gift of God, lest any man or woman should boast. So the whole idea is that this salvation or redemption is afforded to us not through works, but the gift that God has given us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that gift. If we reject the gift that God has given us and try and stand before God with other alternatives, such as, well, I didn't understand, it was not my fault, we have no recourse, because the gift has been given, and the gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I said it's the gift of God. He is the one that was brought forth, given to humanity to receive eternal life. Now let's look at something for a moment here. A gift is something that you cannot earn. And many of us, and this is why it's not of works, we cannot earn this gift. This gift is given to us by God. That's why it's God's unmerited favor. That what we deserve is judgment, but mercy came. So God gave his son Jesus, who is the gift of God. Praise God. And the word tells us here that in the ninth verse there, Minister Glory, are you able to read that? Praise the Lord.
The ninth verse says, not of works, lest any man should boast. 10th verse, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them.
Praise the Lord. The most important thing here is that when we look at this gift, the gift of God, God has given this gift to humanity. And if you don't receive, or you perhaps refuse to receive this gift, then you will be eternally lost. Now, I don't say that with a great deal of joy in terms of if you don't receive the gift, but the gift is most important. You cannot earn this gift. This gift has been given to us all, and many people today out there in Radio Land that they refuse to receive the gift as it stands right now. But I want to tell you today, if you reject the gift of God, then you will be eternally lost. And no one should be eternally lost if they receive this gift. This gift came to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. He is the gift of God. Now, the Bible tells us also that it is vitally important that when we look at what Apostle Paul is saying, for by grace are you saved. And listen to what he said, for by grace are you saved through faith. So that means that what we have, we don't deserve, but because of God giving us the gift of God, then we can have eternal life. We can be redeemed. Praise the Lord, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the gift, and he's also is the Redeemer, our redemption. Praise God. And it's important that when we focus on what Apostle Paul is saying, that we are his workmanship. See, everything was done, it was done for our betterment, for our benefit, because God gave his son Jesus so that we would have a right to the tree of life. Every one of us that will believe and receive the gift that he's given us. You know, it makes me understand something, that if a person has given me a gift, that should be very clear that I did not earn that gift, that it was given to me because of kindness or whatever a person had decided to just give you a gift. But this gift that came from God is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is this gift that we all need to receive in order to have eternal life. Now, the Bible tells us there that that every one of us have sinned. There's none out there that have not sinned. The scripture tells us that so clearly in Romans 3 and verse 23. It tells us that for we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, this is why we need the gift, and this is why the gift was given, praise God. Can you imagine for a moment that God saw humanity lying in sin, and he gave the gifts so that we could have eternal life? It's a gift. We did not earn it. We cannot earn it. The only thing that we can do is receive the gift. How many out there in Radio Land, day in and day out, are leaving or exiting this planet not receiving the gift? Well, it's not God's fault. And many people say, well, God understands. But I want to tell you, God has given us the redemptive plan of his salvation, because salvation lies in the hands of God. And this gift that's been given to us, we're given by God. So we must stay focused and understand that whatever that is going on in your life or in my life, we must consider this gift. On Christmas, when people are passing gifts around, many of the people that receive those gifts in the natural, they realize that they have not earned this gift, that this gift came through kindness or perhaps love in the natural, or being someone is saying, well, I want to give you something just to make you happy. Well, I come today to tell you that the gift that's been given to humanity is not wrapped with a bow and in a box in the natural given to someone. This gift provides us eternal life. And this is the gift that we all need to receive, that will believe in what God has said to us. First of all, he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, he said that there's none that is righteous, no, not one. And thirdly, he has said that there's none that seeketh after God. So I'm telling you, those are some very powerful verses of scripture there, especially when a gift has been given and we reject that gift. How could one stand in the presence of God Almighty and give an excuse in terms of why they rejected the gift? The gift was given so that we would have eternal life. That is the concern. That's the love of God, that he loved us so much until he gave a gift to humanity. And many people today are rejecting this gift. But I just want to tell you that if you open up your eyes and see that in the natural now, that people or somebody would give you a gift that you did not earn and you receive that gift, my question to you from a spiritual standpoint is that, well, God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, he has given a gift to humanity, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in Romans 6 and verse 23, it tells us that the wages of sin is death. I said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you out there in Radio Land today that the gift is free. This is why none of us have any kind of excuse if we reject the gift that's been given. Jesus is the gift. He is the gift to humanity. And as many of us as would believe and receive this gift, the promise of God says that you would have eternal life. In John 3 in verse 16, the word of God tells us there that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, this is the love of God. This is the gift that God has given us. And we have no excuse if we believe what God said, that if we believe and receive this gift that he has given to humanity, that we would have everlasting life. Let me read that verse of scripture again in St. John 3 and verse 16, because it's such a powerful verse of scripture, and we say it most of the time, if not all the time, here and there, we are talking about the goodness of God. This is why we say God's grace is unmerited favor toward mankind, or perhaps humanity. But I like to say that God's grace is the goodness of God that's been given to undeserving people. We don't deserve what we have. And this is why in St. John 3 in verse 16, the word is clear that, first of all, Apostle Paul has said in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned. That means that is everybody have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Apostle Paul also said that there is none that's righteous, no, not one. And he also said that there is none that seeketh after God. Now, hearing those verses of scripture, plus many more that is written there, is that why would we refuse to receive this gift? This gift that will give us eternal life, that will bring forth redemption for all of us that need to be redeemed. God saw it and he knew it. So let's look at, in John 3:16, it tells us that God loved us so much. He loved the whole world, not just one segment of society, but he loved the whole world. That's everybody. Whatever race that one is part of or been birthed into, he loves you. And this is the most important thing here. It says, for God, the creator of the universe, the one that sits high and look low, that heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. He knows all about everything. There's nothing that one could change and say, well, we don't understand. God loves us. And listen to what he said. God so loved the world. That's humanity. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's the gift. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the gift. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, what a gift. What a gift that we have not earned, but it was given to us because of the love of God. And the 17th verse tells us that God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world. Isn't that wonderful? But that the world through him, that's everybody, that the world through him might be saved. This is the most important thing. And each time we think about what God has done, that should move us more into the arena of saying, well, Lord, I thank you for the gift. I receive the gift of life, the gift of God. I receive it into my heart. And it's talking about Jesus, because he is the gift. As we read in Romans 6 and verse 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God, this gift that God gave us that will afford us eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful, Minister Gloria, yeah, that...
But don't you know in Romans 5 and 8, it says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For everyone, all he's asking is to receive him as Lord and Savior.
To receive this gift. God won't badger you or force you to receive the gift, because I go back in the natural and explain to you that if someone is giving you a gift or a present, they won't force you to take it. It's up to you. This is a choice that you make in terms of receiving the gift that someone is giving you out of the kindness of their heart, or you reject it. Well, from a spiritual standpoint, God has laid out his divine plan of salvation. He's laid it out where he's given us a gift that we did not deserve, nor have we earned, but is only because of unmerited favor. Good God Almighty. When we begin to think about the goodness of God and what he has done for us, our souls should cry out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me, for giving me the opportunity to receive this gift. Many people today, they focus on so many other things and they forget about the gift that's been given. But one day there will be a day of reckoning when you exit this earth, you stand before a holy and righteous God, one that will stand and judge you because of your rejection of the only gift, or perhaps his son, in whom he has sent here in humanity to save us. Wow. That's a terrible day. You don't have to leave this earth going into a Christless eternity. In other words, going into eternity without Christ. There are many people that are leaving this world without Christ. They have set in their heart that they rejected the gift that God has given to us all and go into eternity without Christ. You don't have to do that. God loves you. He loved you so much until he sent his only begotten son, and he gave you a choice in terms of the gift that was sent, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. God won't force you to receive the gift. He made it possible that you would be able to have this gift, have the opportunity to receive the gift. And it's up to you. But I say today that many of us, I pray that our eyes will be open, that we will be able to see that this gift is a wonderful gift that's been given to humanity, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I pray today from the earnest and the honesty of my heart that this gift, which cannot be earned, only given because of the goodness of God that's given to undeserving people, that you would receive this gift. It's the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came here to bring forth redemption and the forgiveness of sin. And you have the opportunity right now, right where you are, to say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I receive the gift that God has given me. I open up my heart and I receive this gift. I know that it's something that I cannot earn, nor am I deserving to have it. But because of your love and your mercy, you gave us this wonderful gift that will give us eternal life if we believe and receive this gift. Praise God. Well, I pray that whomever that is tuning into the broadcast, that if you believe what was being said or spoken today and make a concerted effort and realize that you cannot leave this earth realm and stand in the presence of a holy and righteous God on your own account, that you need this gift. And the gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Minister Gloria Sheep just extend the opportunity. We have 1 minute here, and we want to be able to tell you that this gift is a wonderful gift, and all you need to do is open up your heart and receive it.
Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith. Amen.
Praise God. It's only the goodness of God that's been given to undeserving people, and Jesus is that gift. God bless you all out there. Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.